Thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming this morning. It's a great day. Amen?
Amen.
Well, some of you believe it's a great day. Some of you are trying to believe it's a great day. Amen? But it's a great day whether you think it is or not. Amen? Every day is a great day. Every day is a good day. Some are better than others. I once heard a man tell me that, and I think to myself, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, he didn't have to know. He knew God. And that's who he trusted in. He didn't trust in what he saw. He didn't trust in man. He trusted in God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And you're here today because God has something for you. I know he does. I know he does. And the first thing we're going to do is I know that sounds terrible. The first thing we're going to do is take an offering. Sorry it came across that way. Don't mean it that way. But the key to tithing, tithes and offering is to get you in a place of blessing. To get you into a place of faith and trust in God. And I tell you, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And if you can get your treasure, it'll fix every other area of your life. This is what you need to know. When you get your heart for God, it changes every other area in your life. It changes your relationships. It changes your perspective. It changes your outlook. It changes everything. And if you want change in your life for the better, God is the answer.
Amen.
Amen? And it's a disservice as a minister of the gospel to not give you opportunity to give. Because that's where the blessing is.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It would be wrong for me not to give you opportunity. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, people look at giving and offering as I'm trying to get something from. No, I'm trying to give God to you. I'm trying to make an avenue for the blessing of God to come. Amen. Acts 20, verse 35. Paul says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is a profound statement that when I read that, I think to myself, what does that really mean? Because we can read a lot of things. We can hear a lot of things. But if we do not have understanding of them, they make no sense and we get no fruit from it.
Yeah.
It says, it is more blessed to give than receive. That word blessed there is fortunate and well off. You are more fortunate to give than you are to receive. And that makes zero sense at all in the natural, doesn't it? Because if you receive something, that's an added feature to your life. That's increased to your life by receiving. But you are actually more blessed when you give than when you receive. You just don't understand what the blessing really is. Are you awake today? I'm going to share with you a couple scriptures here. And I was telling Brother Joe this morning, as I got into this, and I came up, the offering scripture, I'm not going to lie to you, the offering scripture came to me about 7:30 this morning. You say, well, how can you do that? I don't do it. I trust God to do it. Amen. And he almost gave me a whole sermon here about the blessing of giving. Giving causes you to enter into a place that you can't do on your own. You cannot operate in the things of God or in the realm that we live in without being a giver. Being a giver unlocks heaven, and it unlocks heaven in you. And you're going to see something. John 3:16, it all started there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The giving of Jesus, even though to Jesus in the natural was a rough 33 years. Right? Wasn't it? But by God giving his son, what did that do? That set every single one of you free from the curse of sin and death. Think about that. One person set humanity free from sin and gave them opportunity to populate heaven based off of one man. If you do not understand giving, I'm telling you, you will today. Because the power to give is the power to break the enemy's back and to break the curse off of your life. Amen. When you give your heart to Jesus, it transforms your life forever.
Amen.
When you think about the power of a moment, a decision to give will unlock heaven for eternity. The power of giving. You can receive a dollar, but man, when you sow a dollar and the Lord gets a hold of that dollar, you can have a hundredfold return from that dollar.
Yeah.
But that dollar in your pocket is a dollar, and that's all it'll ever be. And with inflation and the way things are going, that dollar is going to be cheaper than it was when you got it. Okay, maybe you don't understand economics. But I'm telling you, when the dollar is weak, it's not worth what it used to be worth. It goes up and down. The kingdom of God does not operate that. The kingdom of God operates up. So when you give to God, you should be expecting an increase.
Amen.
Amen. Increase is coming when you give to God. Amen. When you give to your neighbor, when you help your neighbor, giving is more than just money.
Right.
Money is just a small portion. Your time, your talents, your giftings. When you give those, you are operating in a place that God is getting ready to pour out a blessing. Because you reap what you what? Sow. If you never sow, never reap. That's the power of giving. So John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his son. Psalms 50 verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hey, what does this mean? Why did I bring this up? Because people that don't give, they believe that there's not enough for them to be able to give. For some reason, they feel like if they give, they're going to be in lack. All right, God's not big enough to supply their need because I have this amount. If I give half of it, that means I only have a half left. Yeah, that's the natural way of looking at it. But when you give your half to God or you give your portion to God, God says, I see what you gave. I have cattle on 1,000 hills. Guess what you're getting ready to get? You're getting ready to get a whole lot more than what you had in your hand. Amen. But if you have a mindset that everything you base your giving off of is what you see, that's as far as you'll ever get. See, your natural vision will only take you so far. But when you give, you're setting yourself up to spiritually see way farther than just what's in your hand. If you only live based off of what's in your hand, you're going to be in fear and sweating it every day of your life. Because it's only what you can do in your own power. God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. There's more than enough. You could empty your bank account and he's got cattle on 1,000 hills. Am I telling you to do that? No. But if God tells you to do that, know that he has more than enough for you.
Amen.
The reason he's telling you to do that is to break the power of the enemy and pour out a blessing in your life.
Amen.
That's Psalms 50 verse 10. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, this is Abraham. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's a lot of blessing going on with Abraham. What did he do? He gave his life to the Lord. He obeyed what the Lord said, did it. Not only him was blessed, not only himself was blessed, his family was blessed, his land was blessed, and every generation after him was blessed, which is me.
Amen.
Amen. By Abraham's giving, I'm blessed today.
Amen.
Amen. By Jesus' giving, I'm blessed today.
Yes.
Amen. By your giving, your children and your grandchildren will be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. It's a generational thing. Right. Giving will break the power of the curse. Off of your family and off of your life. Amen. When you give to God, the sky is the limit. Why? Because God has everything. He's not based off of the sky. He has the heavens.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? You're giving into a supernatural work that's beyond what you can do.
Amen.
It's beyond, you know, Goldman Sachs and all the Wells Fargo, all these places. Goldman Sachs isn't the right one. That's a store, isn't it? I'm talking about banking system. All right, help me out, brother. Keep laughing. It's all right. Amen. All these Bank of America, all these things that try to give you the best rate. I'm telling you, there is no stopping the rate of God.
Yeah.
Hundredfold return is not possible in the natural. It does not operate that way. Can you imagine if you put a $100 in your bank and they say, guess what? I'm going to cut you a check for a hundredfold return. Here you go. No strings attached. It doesn't work that way, does it? And it never will in the natural. But in the supernatural, it will. Every time. So Abraham was blessed based off of his giving. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I don't have the time, but if you read through that chapter in 2 Corinthians 8, it was based off of their faithfulness as a church to give. They gave. The Philippian church, what did they do? They gave to Paul's necessity. Amen. Even when they were in lack, they gave. You say, how's that possible? With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With God, all things are possible. So the church of Macedonia was blessed because they gave. They gave. Matthew 10:42. Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. You think God isn't in the little details? He's counting the cups that they gave. He knows the number of hair on your head. God is keeping track of your giving. Why? Because it keeps him on track of his blessing. Your giving puts God in the driver's seat to bless you.
Amen.
Every single time. Every single. Even down to the giving of a glass of water. Bless the hospitality team.
Yes, amen.
Every one of you that serves on the hospitality team, get ready. Because the Lord's going to pour out a blessing in your life. You say, well, this is just a cup of water. In God's eyes, it's way more than a
That's
cup
right.
of water. Yes, it meets my natural needs, but I'm telling you, by the faithfulness of doing this and bringing this water to the pulpit, you're setting yourself up for a spiritual blessing.
Amen.
You're setting yourself up for people to pour. I'm not going to do it because the hospitality team will be cleaning it up, and I'm not going to do that. But you'll be able to pour. God can pour into your life because you poured into someone else's life.
That's right.
Listen to me, church. It's far greater than what you can imagine and think in your head. You are spiritually activating God by faith to pour out a blessing in your life when you give. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what has given. Did you know when you lend to the poor, God is in debt to you? When you give to the poor, excuse me, don't lend to the poor. When you give to the poor, God is indebted to you to pay you back. So when you give to someone that's in need and with no strings attached, I just give you $100. Amen. Just give her. I don't even have my wallet, but if I did, I give her $100. Guess what? That puts God in debt to me. I'm telling you, you won't hear a teaching like this, but that's what the Word of God is saying. When you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. So you're putting God in a place where he's going to have to give back to you because you're blessing those that are less fortunate.
Yeah.
The power of giving is amazing. It is simply amazing. And if you get a hold of the spirit of giving, it's contagious.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It is contagious. 2 Corinthians 9:7. I have tons more scripture, but I'll end with this one. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Amen. When you give, don't give grudgingly. Don't give out of necessity. You give with a pure heart.
Amen.
If your heart is not pure when you give, I don't care how much you give, it is worthless to God because your heart is not in it. Give with a pure heart. Give with a cheerful heart. And give expecting for God to do something for you. Amen?
Amen.
There's offering envelopes. If you're listening online, there's many ways to give through the website, through our app. Amen. Just get on there. You can give. You can sow into this and what the Lord is doing here. But you guys that are here in front of us, there's envelopes. You can give on your phone if you want. There's many ways. We do not limit how you give or how much you give. The key is the heart of the giver. The key is the heart of the giver, because I know God's going to do his part. No questions asked. God will honor his word, and he's faithful and true to bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If I could have the ushers, please. Hallelujah. Right, just hold on, ushers. Just come on up here. You can be on video for a little bit. It's all right. Just look at these strapping men. I feel like a little fella in front of them. Amen. But if you need an offering envelope, amen, they're in the chairs there. I want to give you an opportunity. I called you guys up a little sooner. I want to give the people a little bit of time. Smile. It's all right, guys. You're on camera. It's okay. Amen. God is good. I'm going to pray first. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to sow into your kingdom, Lord God. I thank you for the supernatural increase, the supernatural banking system of heaven that we can partake of, Lord, here this morning, Father God. Oh, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you that the weapon, that the enemy has no power over the giver, Lord God. When we sow into your kingdom, the enemy cannot stop the power and the blessing of God from coming forth in our lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you that as we tithe and we give, Lord God, you promise to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so big there won't be room enough to take it, Lord God. Father, I thank you for windows opening as faith is released. In Jesus' name, amen. Serve the people. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Sowing is not a sad time. Sowing is a happy time. Amen. Thank you, guys. God is so good. Hallelujah. If you could bow your heads. Father, I thank you for each and every person. Those listening online, the Lord is moving on your behalf. The Lord is moving on your behalf. Even now in his presence, faith is being released. And that blesses God. And he honors faith. He honors it. Father, I thank you that you honor the faithfulness of your saints. As they sow and they give, Lord, I thank you. Out of a pure heart, Lord God, you honor that and you bless that. Lord, we sanctify this seed, Father God. We give it to you. It's yours. As we steward what you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of heaven upon each and every giver, in their family, in their marriage, in their children, in their grandchildren, Lord. Let it be a testimony of the glory and the power of God in their lives. Every need met and beyond every need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm not used to doing the offering. I have other people. But we're going to get right into the message. Amen. You ready to receive today?
Amen.
This is just, it's steps of receiving. Okay. So we praise him, we worship him, we honor him, we love him, we sow to him, we pray to him. Amen. And then we receive the word. And the word is going to change your life. Amen.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm telling you, I see it. I see faith just on people. And I don't know if I've ever seen it quite like that before, but I see faith like people are glowing that are releasing their faith. It's like I see it going through the crowd. I see faith turned on. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that vision. Thank you, Lord. Well, today's message is the potter's hands. And I divulged this last week because I felt it in my spirit to minister on the potter in the clay. So the message is a very profound message, the potter's hands, all right? So we're going to talk about what it means to be in the potter's hands, what it means to be in the kingdom of God and how he operates, how he deals with people, how he sees people, and what we must do to be able to turn into and be what God intended us to be. Because the Bible is I don't want to say the Bible's strict, but the Bible is straightforward on who we are and what we can be through him. Very straightforward. Very easy to understand. And that's what makes the gospel and the kingdom of God so enticing and encouraging to me, is because it's very simple. I'm a simple man. And the things of God are very simple. You have to be religious to plug up the presence of God. Amen. You have to be in your mind, in religion or in thought patterns or something to stop the flow of God. Because God is flowing, especially in this day and this hour. I mean, there's an outpouring of God's Spirit, and you literally have to deny it to not receive it. Amen. It's that simple. Come to me as little children, the Bible says. What does that mean? Come to me with a pure heart. Lord, what do you have for me today? I'm here today. Each one of you are here today, listening on. You're here. Why? Because God has something for you. It's not an accident that you're here. And it's not an accident that you're going to be more blessed when you leave than when you came. Because God operates that way. You will be changed today. Mark my words, you will be changed today. You will receive faith on the inside of you that's going to give you a perspective and a shift on the inside that you didn't have when you came. Because the Word does that. Amen. The Word does that. So if you're part of a ministry or part of the church that you don't get any change taking place, it's because there's no Word and no Spirit being released. Because when the Word and the Spirit are released, there's demonstration every time. Every time, you're not going to leave here the same way you came. And I don't want you to run out yet being scared. Okay, you're going to get something good. Amen. God does not give bad gifts. He gives good things. It's going to help you. Amen. Say help. Say, I need help. Amen. We all do. And God's here for you. Amen. So the potter's hand. You know, many times we hear things, but we don't necessarily understand them. Anybody been there? I've been there every day of my life. You know, it's like, what does that mean? Or I read scripture. What does that mean? Not quite understanding it. Kind of get it, but don't really have full understanding of it. A lot, we go through life that way. You know, it's not just about hearing about him, but it's knowing him personally. Amen. And that's what I mean, is you're going to be changed because the Lord's going to touch your life today. How many believe that the Lord can touch them? Okay. For you that are not sure, I'm telling you, the Lord can touch you. He created you, so he knows what you have need of, even before you know it yourself. Amen. But everybody needs a personal touch. They need an encounter with God. Because if you only hear about God and do not receive God, that's religion. That's like, oh, I'm a good person. Oh, I'm a nice person. Oh, I obey the law. That's wonderful. We're supposed to be a good person. We're supposed to be nice to people. And we're supposed to obey the law. Even the world does that. But the change that takes place is Jesus. Amen. Jesus brings the change. Amen. And when Jesus shows up, you will change. I don't care how hard you are. I don't care how many times you've been to church and not received. Today is your day to receive. Amen. Jesus is here today. Glory to God. You're not only going to hear about him, you're going to meet him. Who wants to meet God today? Some of you are like, I don't know. Meet God, that means I'm in heaven. No. Heaven comes down to touch your life. Amen. You're not going to die physically today and go to heaven. All right? It's not good. The enemy's not taking you out right now. Glory to God. He's got something for you. That's why you're here. All right? So don't feel like, oh my God, I don't know if I can raise my hand. I don't want to meet God yet. No, meet him on the inside. Give your heart to him today. Let him touch you and change you. Isaiah 29:13. We're going to get right into it. Isaiah 29:13-16 we're going to. Oh, hallelujah. God's revealing himself. Verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Let me stop there. Because there is, what Isaiah is saying here is, people come to me with their mouth, with their lips. They speak highly of me. They tell others about how good I am, but they don't personally give their heart to me. It's called lip service. Anybody know anybody like that? Don't say a name. All right? Don't say a family member. All right? If it's you yourself, you can come up and repent. That's fine. But what I'm getting at is it happens. People say what people want to hear, but they won't give them the truth. They won't give them the living reality of what it really is to bring about the change that needs to take place. And we here at New Freedom, we're going to give you what you need to get the breakthrough. Amen. His name's Jesus. We're going to give you the comforter and the guide to get you through life. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He's here today for you. Amen. So it's not about what you can say. It's not about your eloquent speech. It's not about how holy you put on a show. It's about your personal heart towards God. And when your heart is released to God, that's where God can navigate and help you through every detail. God can only move where you allow Him to move. Listen to me, church. Faith operates where the Word of God is known. Remember that. Faith can only operate where the Word of God is known. So wherever you know the Word and receive the Word, that's where faith and that's where God can operate. So as soon as you shut your heart off to God, it limits God from what He can do in your life. That quickly. But guess what? That quickly, things can turn on and you can go. Tell me it isn't so. Tell me it isn't so. The power of God on that man. Amen. And I'm telling you, we're going to hear things from California of what the Lord is doing. Amen. I'm prophesying that. God is with you, brother. So it says, it goes on, verse 2, honor me with their lips, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Listen to me. Be careful what you hear from man, because from man it can put fear in you about who God is. The more you listen to what man says, the more you will have a judgment towards God. I got real deep real quick. I want you to understand that. If all you're receiving, if all you're taking in about God, about church, about marriage, about family, about how to raise kids, about life in general, if you're only getting it from what man says, you're going to deny what God says. Mark my words. I'm helping you out here. Amen. This is for you to say, I see what you're saying, Pastor. You're not judging me. You're not against me or my family. You're giving me the truth. And the truth will set you free. It will make you free. The commandment of men. What is the commandment of men? What does that mean? That means that you have to do it man's ways. You have to do it, man. If man says, you got to do it this way, and this is the only way, or you got to pray to me and confess your sins to me, that's man's way. So you're not going to fully surrender to God. You're surrendering to man instead. And there's beliefs. There's Christian denominations that believe you pray to a man. Or you sow to a man, a priest. That's a commandment of man. It's really quiet in here. I didn't say which one it was. All right? You have to pray. Or you have to pay man to get free. Your miracle is not based off of how much money you sow. You will never hear sow $1,000 to get your miracle. Jesus died on the cross for your miracle. You don't have to pay for it. It's free. Amen. You don't have to pay God to get your miracle. You don't have to pay man to get your miracle. You give your heart to God and you have your miracle. Amen. I feel the presence of God. Receive that. Don't let man tell you you got to jump through five hoops to find God. You can come and say, Lord, I believe in you. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. You died on the cross for me and you rose again. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. That easy, you're saved. That quickly, Jesus can enter your heart and change your life forever. And your eternal destiny is set. Amen. That you don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy. This building doesn't have to be a certain way for God to show up. You showed up. You have God. God is here. Amen. People try to that isn't even a word. I was going to say religify. I don't know where that came from. People try to put God in such a way that only God is with us and He can't be with you because He's only with us. Denominations do that. Oh, well, you don't believe this, so we're going to divide and we're going to start our own denomination. God's with us, and he's not quite with you as much. That's the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard. Wherever someone's faith in God is there. Wherever you tread your foot as a believer, God is with you. If you go to the mission field, God is with you. When you go to school, God is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to buy God. It's the grace of God. It's not about your works. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. Gifts are not paid for. I don't buy my wife a gift and say, can I have $100 to help put towards this gift, please? And then you can have it. Give me a down payment and I'll give you a portion of your gift. Could you? That's what people look at God as. Oh, I got to jump through this and this. Oh, I got to give this to get this. It doesn't work that way. Give your heart to God and you receive the kingdom. You receive the kingdom. This is about the potter's hands. I'm getting there. Okay. Amen. Everybody say, get there, Pastor.
Get there, Pastor.
All right, I'm working on it. All right, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden. God is going to take care of the wisdom of this world. God is going to take care of the intellect of this world, okay? You don't have to. You don't have to strive to be a certain way to get God or not get God. Amen. God is there. God is here. Amen. So it's not in your intellect that's going to perish. Verse 15, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed say of him who formed it, has he no understanding? What is this saying? This is pretty much saying that as clay, as God created us, we are flipping it around and saying, we're going to tell God how it's going to be. That's what it's saying. That's pretty much saying that this nice clay pot that my wife said, do not drop or break. So I'm trying to make sure I don't mess up. This clay pot, that's like saying the clay told the potter, I'm not right. Please form me a little differently. How dumb is that? Come on, go with me. I just said it. That's like saying this piece of pottery spoke to me as a potter and said, can you make my neck a little longer or me a little more narrow? I'm a little fat today. Thin me out. I better be careful. That's what it's saying. And that's what we do with God. We tell God how we need to be, how life should be. How this should be, how my ministry should be, how my look should be. God, you didn't do good enough. Please change me. That's what you're saying. Now, when sin is involved, that's what you need to say. But when God created you a certain way, that's how he created you. And he's got blessing on the inside of you. And you just got to be the pot that he made you to be. And you hold what you need to hold, and you do what you need to do, and you're going to serve the Lord the way he made you to be to serve. Yeah. But notice what it says here. Verse 16, surely you have things turned around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For shall the thing made say to him who made it, he did not make me? People will say that. I don't believe in God. God made them and he created them, whether you believe it or not. You are created by Almighty God. Sinner and saint alike, you're created by God whether you believe there is a God or not. Please hold this. Thank you. Yeah, amen. You got to know when to release. Amen. It says, or shall the formed say of him who formed it, he has no understanding. That's like saying the pot telling the potter, you don't know what you're doing. We as humans have a tendency to play God, try to be God or try to inform God how things should be. And don't stare at me with a blank stare like, I don't know what you're talking about. Every single one of you understand what I'm talking about, because we've all done it. We've all done it. And I'm not saying it's you messed up and you're bad for doing it. It's just lack of understanding that God created you. We just need to understand what God's doing. Really, when you blame God for something, it's because you don't understand what God is doing. Even if it's something good or uncomfortable. Lord, what are you doing in this? This isn't necessarily what I think it ought to be. You can have that feeling, but you must understand that when conviction comes to change and convince you to do better or do something different, it's to better you. And if you don't understand it, you don't understand it, but don't blame the one that's trying to help you. And don't run from the one that's trying to help you when he's the one that's actually the one you really need. Yeah. You know, when somebody gets offended, they run from the one that they really need to go to. When you get mad at somebody, you don't run from them. You communicate with them and get a place of peace and understanding. But people run from God because they don't understand why it had to happen that way. Some of you may have lost a loved one. I'm telling you, the Lord will help you through that situation. You may be struggling with something. You may be the pot that's like, Potter, I don't know what you're doing, but this is not forming the way. My life is not what I think it should be. You can have that feeling. But you must understand that when you give your life to the Lord, he's going to help you be exactly what you need to be. He already knows what you need to be. Isaiah 45. A few pages over. Isaiah 45, verse 9. I have a tendency to go fast through Scripture. I want to give you opportunity to get there. Isaiah 45:9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. There it is again. Woe to him who strives. That word strives is quarrel. Have you ever quarreled with God? I guarantee you're not going to win. You are not going to win. You can quarrel all you want. You can complain all you want. It is not going to change God. You're not going to change God. God changes you. Just like the potter changes the pot, not the other way around. The pile of clay goes on the wheel and does not destroy the wheel or the potter. No, it's the power of the potter and the wheel that create the pot. Don't get it confused. Don't get it switched around. There's no way the pot or the clay can dictate the wheel or the potter. There's no way. It cannot, just like that pot right there, cannot change the one who made it. You can't change the one who made it. The one who made it is the one who made it. All right? He saw fit, or she saw fit. He saw fit how you should be. Yeah. Amen. When you understand this truth, you'll lay things down and be like, you know what? Lord, you're doing something in me. I don't understand it, but here I am. Mm-hmm. Put me on your wheel. Spin me around and make me who you want me to be. Amen. That's obedience. That's sacrifice. That's what God has called us to be. We're clay on the potter's wheel. And guess what? As much as you may not want to hear it, the more you stay on the wheel, the better your life will be. And I think we have a picture. I changed it up, Ashlyn. Put that picture up there of the wheel. She's like, there it is. See that? That's a potter's wheel. He sits on the back. There's two wheels to a potter's wheel. There's the bottom wheel and the top. The top holds the pile of clay. Sorry, online, you can't see that. But just Google a potter's wheel and you'll get there. The bottom, the big one, is where his foot goes. And he spins. He makes the wheels turn. So there's two wheels to a potter's wheel. It's not singular, it's two. There's a bottom one by the ground, and there's a top one that's the disc that the clay sits on. Guess what? The top one cannot move, nor the clay can move, till the bottom wheel has power. And when the Lord puts power in your life, you start forming into what you need to be. Amen. A pile of clay turns into a pile of clay if the Lord does not do the work in you. If you do not allow the Lord, you're still a pile of clay. But you turn into something when you allow the Lord to work on you.
Amen.
That's the potter. He starts. So what happens is he powers it. It starts spinning. And then he puts his hands on it. And it starts forming into what it needs to be. So what I'm saying is when you disagree with God and fight with God, you're pretty much, the clay's just falling off the wheel. You're just making a decision. I don't want to be on the wheel. And all you are is a clump of clay on the side. I hate to say it that way. But till you say, you know what, Lord, I want all that you have for me, boom, you get right on top of that disc. And the more center you are, the less you spin around and the more even you become. There's a spiritual note here. Get this, church. The more center you are on that disc, the quicker and easier you can become what God intended you to come. The closer you get to God and the more you allow him to mold and make you, the faster you can become exactly what he wants you to be. Don't run from God, run to God. Amen. Don't be afraid of God. He loves you. He'll create you into what you need to be. But if you're on the edge of that disc and it starts spinning around, I'm telling you, you got a chance. You're not only spinning like this, you're spinning like this. And there's no way to form you if you're rebelling against God. Because you're putting your flesh involved. You're making the decision, I'm not going to be in the center of his will. I'm going to be in my will over here. Some of you may be on the edge of the disc. Some of you fall down on the bottom disc where his foot is. And some of you just fling right off into the grass. That's not what we want. Amen? That's not what we want. Get back on the wheel and allow the Lord to work with you. Amen. Woe to him who strives or quarrels with his maker. Let the potsherd, that's what the scripture says, I'll explain it, strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall you, your handiwork say, he has no hands? That's like saying, that's like the pot saying, the potter has no hands. What are you doing? See how goofy this sounds, but how real it is in the spiritual realm when we say no to God?
Yeah.
We're saying no to his hands. We're saying no to his ability to create you. The New Living Translation says, verse 9, this way, what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? When you argue with God, you're setting yourself up for sorrow. You're setting yourself up for a hard time. All right? What sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? No. No, it doesn't. Again, it's like the pot talking to the potter. How foolish does that sound, but how real it is that we try to explain ourselves to God and try to question what God's doing. That seems real easy. Well, I'm questioning God. I don't understand. You're debating with God or his scripture. But yet it's like saying, well, I'm a pot, and I'm going to tell the potter how it's going to be. Good luck with that. Verse 10, woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? That's like a child saying to their dad, what did you do when you made me? Guess what? It is what it is. You are what you are. Your dad's your dad, your mom's your mom. Whether you like it or not, you're not going to change it. That's what this is saying. That's what it is spiritually. You are not going to change the creator in what he's done. He made you. The potter has created and made you into what you need to be. Verse 11, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me, I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out the heavens and all their hosts I have commanded. The Lord created everything, including you. The details of the hair on your head, he knows, or the lack of. Amen. Or the lack of. He knows. He knows every detail of you. A potter signs their pottery, don't they? They know where they got their clay. They know how much water, how much pressure, all that. They know all that. They put their name on it because it's theirs. Guess what? You are marked by God. His name is on you. And you are a vessel fit to be used by Him. Amen. Yeah, it even gets better than this. It gets better. Everybody say better.
Better.
Better. It gets better. Amen. So we can wonder why things are the way they are, or we can compare ourselves to others. And when I got that word compare, I thought to myself, people compare clay pots all the time. People compare towards each other all the time. Well, that person is like that, or that person has that, or that person looks like that, or that person, it's constant comparison. What you're saying is, I don't trust what the Lord did in me, so I'm going to compare myself to somebody else. Either I look at myself in a prideful way that I'm better than them, or I look at myself in a weak way that I'm not good enough. And that's what people do with each other. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. Comparing is questioning God's creative ability. Comparing yourself to someone else is like saying, God didn't do a good enough job with me. Very quiet in here. When you compare yourself to someone else, you are saying, God did not do good enough with me. God did more than good enough with you. You just haven't received the goodness of God. You just do not have the understanding or the detail of what He put into you and what He placed before you when He sent Jesus to the cross. I think every time I minister, I think to myself, why am I up here? There's other people that can talk a lot better than me, that can read Scripture better than me, that can quote Scripture better than me, that can sing better than me, that look better than me. I can compare all day long about people that are better in many areas. But if I do, I'm questioning God's ability and His gifting He placed in me, saying my pot's not good enough.
That's right.
And what do people do? If they don't like themselves enough, they throw their pot out.
Yeah.
They take their pot and go down the road, don't they? I'm not good enough, so I'm leaving. This church judges me, so I'm out of here. This church brings authority and brings the word of God, and I don't like it. I don't like the leadership of this church, so I'm going to take my pot and run. God made you to handle His Spirit. Comparison is a bad thing. Comparing is questioning God's creative ability. It's saying your Creator is not good enough. He didn't do a good enough job. Can you imagine that? So we must give ourselves to Him. He will create a new work in us. A work already started but has not finished yet. Today is your day to make sure you're on the potter's wheel. Today's your day to make sure you're on the potter's wheel. You may not even know what I'm talking about. What am I saying? I'm saying today is your day to not only find God and know Him, but be used by Him.
Amen.
Allow Him to work in your life. Amen. Allow Him to mold you into what He's created you to be. Amen. You must see this for what it is. Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You are our potter. Once you understand that you are clay and He's the potter, you're in good shape. Amen. Don't try to be like you're the potter and God's the clay, and you're going to tell God what He's going to do and not do. That's what people do. That's what the world does. They say, God, I don't know about God. I'm going to do life my way. You do life your way. I'll tell you. I'm going to lose my life and give it to Christ, and that's the best way. And the Lord is going to do the rest. But if you get to a place where you're like, I don't need God, God's not good enough, I can handle it, you're in a very detrimental place. Your clay pot is marred, broken, cracked, and dysfunctional. I don't care how pretty the clay looks. If there's a hole in it or a crack in it, it's not working right. Right? All right. Okay. If you need that interpretation here, if I drill a hole in the bottom of the cup, it doesn't matter how beautiful this 12-ounce Sam's Club cup is or how much worth it is. If it has a hole in the bottom, it's no good to me. And by you making a decision that I'm going to do life myself, you're pretty much poking a hole right in the bottom of your pot. What, right in the creative power that God has placed in you, you're saying it's not good enough for me. That's what pride does. That's what lack of knowledge does. That's what flesh does. Saying, you know what? I'm good. So this world is not the potter. This may be a shock to you. Parents are not the potter. Pastors are not the potter. Only Jesus is the potter. Only Jesus is the potter. And I know you may say, well, I have influence with my kids and I raise a child up in the way they shall go and they shall not depart. The raising up of a child is not there, but it's putting them on the potter's wheel. That's raising up a child in the way they should go. It's being willing enough to say, Lord, you gave me this child. I dedicate it back to you. Do whatever it is that you want to do with my child. Amen. If you want them to go to Bible school and they go, God bless them. I love them. I'll miss them in the flesh. I'll come visit you if I can. But I'm not going to hinder what the Lord and the power of God want to do on the wheel with my children. Amen. My job is to get my children on the wheel. I am not the sole influence in my children's life. I am a light of Christ to them. It just so happens there's a close bond there because the Lord saw fit for me to have children and have kids to raise up. Sometimes I question that too. What in the world were you thinking? But the Lord has a plan. And my children are beautiful and wonderful and I love them to death. But it's God that has, they need an experience with God themselves. Every single one of you teenagers in here, listen to me, and children, you must experience. You cannot live off of your parents' faith. You have to have an experience with God yourself. Every single one of you children must have an experience with God. You have to encounter God. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not well done, thy good and faithful mom and dad who did everything for me and provided all of my needs. That is not going to get you into heaven. You can win the whole world and lose your soul. You must have an encounter with God. That's what brings the change, that when you leave here, you're going to be like, God was there. God spoke to my spirit. Something's happening in me. Amen. That is exactly what it is. The potter is doing something with the clay. Amen. And the more you allow the Holy Spirit, the more water's on that clay, and it just forms so much nicer. There's not the friction. That's a word of the Lord. That's not my sermon. That's free. Amen. You didn't have to pay for that one. That was the water, the moisture forms the clay. If the clay is the wrong moisture, it's difficult to form. You can have an old dry piece of clay, and the Lord is, and you're just rebelling. You're this old clumpy thing that's all dried up. You need to allow the Lord to work in you. Amen. Allow the Holy Spirit to saturate you, get you to a place where you're palatable, that He can make you into something. But if you get your intellect in the way, you're pretty much, I'm going to be like this. And you're a hard piece of clay. But the Lord can still work with you. He'll soften you up. It'll just take a little more time. May need a little more heat. Sometimes the Lord puts a little heat on people. Soften them up a little bit before He can work with them. Some of you get what I'm saying because you've been in that place. You hard thing, you. Hey, I'm just telling you. Back to what I was saying, the parent and the pastor. Pastors don't raise kids. Schools do not raise kids. Evangelists, grandparents, they can impart. They are a part of the child-rearing process. But the more you give your life as a parent and grandparent to the Lord, the more you really can impart to your kids. Because you're putting your trust and your faith in God. And you're putting yourself on the wheel. And then you're like, guess what? Your turn. Boom. You're on the wheel too. And we're all on the wheel together being made into what God has. So notice, God created. He's the potter. So He's forming everybody. Everybody has their own wheel to get on. But we're all on the wheel together, if that makes sense. I know you can't understand it naturally, but spiritually, all of creation is on the potter's wheel, if they choose to be. And each person is being made individually into what God has, all at the same time. People are getting saved right now all across the world. People are getting healed right now. People are being called into ministry right now all across the world. All across the world. It's all happening. The church is exploding all across the world right now. How does that happen? The Creator is forming each and every person in the moment. This is literally in the moment happening. You are on the wheel right now. By you coming, this church is on the potter's wheel right now. And by the Word of God, He's forming you into what He... And your life is going to be different. You're going to have a neck or a handle or something on your pot when you leave here today. You're going to be able to hold more than what you held before. Because you're on the wheel. You're on the wheel. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. Stay with me, church. Stay with me. This will bless you. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord say, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. So what did Jeremiah do? Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house. How simple is God? Just do what he says. You say, well, what does that mean? If he's saying go to work on Monday, go to work on Monday. He's got something there for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. It's a paycheck. Anyway, verse 3, some of you are with me. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. That word wheel there in King James has an S on the end. And that's why I like King James, because it gives a more... Anyway, I won't get into... translations. People get all weird when you start talking about translations. But you miss out without the S, because it's a singular wheel in New King James Version. But when we saw the picture, there's two wheels to the potter's wheel. There's a bottom power wheel, and then there's the top disc that the clay sits on. So it gives a better description, because there's two wheels spinning, and they spin the same direction. Amen. So when the Lord is turning, everything's turning in the same direction. And that's when things can happen. It does not work the opposite way. They work the same direction. Amen? Amen. Verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. This is what I want you to see in this verse. Verse 4, it says, marred vessel. A marred vessel is something that is disfigured, cracked, broke. Something's off with it if it's marred. It's got a defect to it. And you think to yourself, well, that's not real good. Every single one of us have defects. All right? Understand that. We need a Savior. Guess what happens, though? Verse 4, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Realize that you can be made in the image of God, which we are, but you can still need to follow after God and stay on the wheel. Notice, the marred wasn't rejected and removed. When they made pots, if it was marred or disfigured, they added it back to the clay and reused it and made it again. So guess what? Praise God. If you slip or mess up, you can repent and get back on the wheel. That's the blessing I want you to see. You can have a day or a week or a time where things don't go your way, where sin entered in, where sickness entered in, and you can say, no. I may have mar on me. I may be a little messed up in this moment, but Lord, get me back on the wheel. Make me what you need me to do. And he knows exactly what you need. Exactly what caused the mar, he'll speak directly into and bring healing to that. And it'll be stronger than the other parts. Notice that when you get a healing or you get a cut in their scar tissue, that scar tissue is stronger than the skin around it when it heals. Remember that. When you get a testimony of something that the Lord delivered you out of or for you, you become stronger in that area than other people around you, because you went through the battle, you went through the fire, and you became stronger coming out the other side. Praise God. Praise God. So if you're going through something, look at it like, guess what? The Lord's getting ready to bring me through. I'm going to be more powerful than when I went in. I'm going to be more victorious than I was before. I'm going to have the victory, and I'm going to help other people get the victory because I went through it so they don't have to. So you as parents that are getting run through the ringer these days with the schools and everything that's going on, look at it like, guess what? I'm going through this so my child won't have to go through what I went through. Amen. Every good parent looks at themselves and is like, I am not going to allow the struggle that I had for my kids to have too. And the reason you can do that is because you're going to trust the Lord and you're going to put them on the wheel and say, you know what? This is what I learned. This is what I did. This is a consequence. Don't do that. Don't do what I did. Don't live how I lived. Don't spend the way I spent. Don't get jammed up the way I got jammed up. Don't hang around the people I hung around. You young people, you adults, you grandparents. See, everybody wants to blame the young people about who they hang around. You either go to the McDonald's and gossip all week about the rest of the area, you're just as bad. Ouch. Do I need to say that again? Maybe you missed it. Those people that talk about other people or get around and have some fellowship to talk about somebody else, you're just as bad gossiping about people. It mars your clay. It mars your clay. Well, that was fun. Verse 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Guess what? The Lord knows what is good. And if you have something that's not good, he's going to help make it better. Amen. We need Jesus. Verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Put yourself in the place you need to be and allow the potter to use you and make you. Amen. Amen. Romans 9:21. Romans 9:21. Talking about the potter and the clay. Romans 9:21 says, does not the potter have power over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel of honor and another of dishonor? Let me read that again. Does not the potter have power over the clay? The answer is yes. The potter has power over the clay. You may see people that put an air about them or walk in a way that they have total control of everything. But God is the one that has the final say. You can try to live your life the way you feel it needs to be lived. And that's all good in every way, except the Lord needs to be in it. If the Lord is not in the way that you're living, the way that you're speaking, you're gonna end up in a place that you don't want to end up, even with the greatest intentions in life. You can have the greatest intentions. You can have the best, you can be the best looking pot out there. But if your pot is not made by the potter, then it's going to fail. It's going to fail. And it's going to be a sad day when the pot ends in a place called hell. Give yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to Jesus. Allow yourself to be molded and made into his image. Allow yourself. Does not the potter have power over the clay for the same lump to make one a vessel of honor and another for dishonor? That word honor there is value, high esteem, and precious in price. The pot that I had, the clay vessel, it's a value. It has worth. When you put your life into the hands of Jesus, you truly find your worth. Amen. You truly find your worth. Everything else is just peanuts. Everything else means nothing till you put your hand in the pot, till you put yourself in the potter's hand. Everyone bow your heads and close your eyes. You listening online as well, just bow your head right where you are. Close your eyes. Right where you are. God has a plan for your life. He has a place for you, and it's on His wheel. It's on His wheel. He is the potter. We are the clay. You may have been marred. You may have been set aside. You may be at a place where you don't even know God. You've never felt God. Every single person, every piece of clay starts in the same place. From the ground. From the ground. Every piece of clay. Every person starts at the same place. But when you make a decision to place yourself on the potter's wheel, everything changes. Everything changes. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. There's a real God that loves you. And He's willing to take you to a place to make you a vessel of honor, fit for the Father's use. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, you've never made that step of faith to say, you know what? I believe there is a God, but I've never accepted Jesus. I've never made that step of faith to ask Him into my heart, to know for sure that I'm going to heaven, to know for sure that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I've just went through life hoping for the best. I'm a good person. I obey the law. I hope I'm going to heaven. No, you can know today. You can know right now that you're going to heaven or not. It's not a question. The Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It also says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. Heaven is real, and so is hell. Heaven is real, and so is hell. God is a real God that loves you. Every head bow, every eye closed, those listening online as well. Today is your day to ask Jesus into your heart, if you haven't done so already. Today's also a day that if you've ran from God, you accepted Him before and you've run from Him, you've backslidden, you become lukewarm, something's happened in your life that totally wrecked your world, and you want to come back to God. You want to place yourself back on the wheel. You want to get back right with God. Restore the relationship. God is a God of reconciliation. There's a ministry of reconciliation, restoring one back to fellowship, back to right relationship with God. These all fall in together. It's all of us getting back on the wheel and allowing the potter to do what He does best, to take our lives and give us our best life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If this is speaking to any one of you, I want you to lift your hands right where you are. Every head bow, every eye closed. Just lift your hands right where you are. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you want to know for sure, today is your day. If you were to die today to know for sure that you're going to heaven, today's your day. Just bow your head, lift your hand right where you are. God loves you. It's never too late. It's never too late. You haven't done anything so bad that God can't forgive. He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for each and every person, those listening online as well. I thank You that You do a quick work in their lives. If you want to receive Jesus, just repeat this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross. And that You rose again. Jesus, I believe that You're coming back again for me. Because I have You in my heart. I receive You now as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I want everyone to look at me. I feel a strong presence of God for healing. If anybody needs healing in their body, I want them to come forward. Healing. You have pain, you have discomfort, you've been given a bad report, no matter what it is, ankle, toe, ear, head, back, shoulders, hips. Healing, emotional healing. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Emotional healing. People have spoken things to you.